So, Father, we come to you now with just open hearts and open minds. And Father, as that song says, what's on our heart this morning is our moms. So we thank you, God. We thank you that each of us are probably sitting here this morning because of mom. So, Lord, we thank you for them. But Lord, we thank you, too, for your presence in this place. Thank you for your power in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy in this place. We thank you for your grace in this place. And we thank you for your love in this place. And Father, we just pray now that today that you are pleased with our worship of you. Because you and only you, Father, are deserving of our praise and our worship. We love you, God. We love you, King Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen. All right. Children's Church. Is that you today, Miss Erin? You and Deidre? All right. Get myself cleaned up here. up to this point in our series of messages, this series that we've been looking at, More Than Just a Name, the focus up to this point has been on first with God and then with Jesus. And I told you last week, eventually we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And we will, but the focus up to this point on God and Jesus has been about their characteristics. And if we really study their characteristics and then we embrace those characteristics, they ought to be something that is on continuous display through us or through believers to a lost and dying world. So today we're going to take sort of a mini break from our considerations about God and Jesus, and we're going to look at the characteristics of an incredibly special mom, Mary, the mother of Jesus, whose name comes from an ancient Egyptian verb which translates, whether it be through Hebrew, whether it be through English, translates into what means to, or it means to love, or the word beloved, right? B-E-L-O-V-E-D. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, did you know that she's only mentioned 14 times in the New Testament? 14 times in the New Testament. With her introduction for us coming in the Gospels, and we're going to look at the introduction in Luke's account this morning. So if you have your Bible and you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, it should be on the screen as well. But I want to introduce you to this very special mom. We're going to read verses 26 through 38, and then we're going to talk about some of that here shortly. Beginning in verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, when do we traditionally read that account? Christmas time. Well, guess what? It's what? May, right? We're not at Christmas time. But I wanted to introduce you to a pretty special mom, that being the mother of Jesus Christ. And while Mary is perhaps the most famous mother in the Bible, we really do not find many details about her personally. Luke 3, if you want to go look at Luke 3, provides her genealogy, and that's important because it connects her son, her firstborn son, Jesus Christ, to the tribe of Judah and to King David. And if you know anything about the history of Jesus and the history of the Messiah, that's important. Why? Because it was prophesied that the Messiah, the Savior, would come through that lineage. We also know because of Mark 6:3 that she had other children. You know, we always think of Mary having Jesus, but we didn't realize that she had other children. So let's look at Mark 6, verse 3. What does it say? Is not this carpenter the son of Mary? Now it's talking about Jesus, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. But look at that list. Of course, there's Jesus, but then she went on to have what? James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and then we don't even get a count on the sisters, right? I know it's more than one because it's plural, right? But what I want you to see is, yes, she had Jesus, and that's awesome, and that was very important, but God used her to do what? To go on and have other children. So Mary was a pretty special mom. When we take the time to consider Mary's background and the manner with which she managed this big assignment from God, we can learn some things about her character. And when we learn things about her character, we can use, or hopefully use, those lessons to help us do what? Grow personally, but then most importantly, grow in our relationship with God. Now, when Gabriel appeared to her and let her in on God's little secret, we should see that God blessed her with honor and blessed her with this tremendous benefit. However, hang on, tremendous benefit, right? Y'all realize that when Gabriel showed up and said, you're going to have a child, and it's going to be Jesus, it's going to be the Messiah, the one that you and your people have been waiting on, that's a tremendous honor, right? That's a tremendous benefit. But however, knowing that, we must also understand the undue pressure that would have fell on Mary and the undue pressure associated with such a blessing, such an honor. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, think about it. Society at the time did not look favorably on single pregnant women. Okay? Now, in today, we take it in stride. But in their day, it was not looked upon favorably at all. Add to the fact that she's betrothed to be married to Joseph and is a virgin. And oh, by the way, now she's been informed that she's going to have a child. And now she's in her mind, put yourself in her mind, she's got to go and start to tell people what's going on. In that society, that would not have been something that went over very well. So even though it was a great honor and it was a great blessing, it was also filled with lots of stress. Now Mary knew that people would probably call her all kinds or all sorts of names. I'm not going to use any of those because I want to be respectful. But I say it that way because I want you to recognize they would not have been honoring and they would not have been good. And she knew that they would attempt to ridicule her and blame her for being promiscuous. She knew the nature of people in that society, in her society with which she lived. Even Joseph knew the difficulty in what God had proclaimed for both he and Mary. And this is why he initially, if you know the rest of the story, planned to do what with her? He planned to very quietly, the Bible says, divorce her. Well, what does that mean? When he got the news of what was going on, he knew the society as well, and he knew what was going to happen. And he said, oh my goodness, I'm not going to do this, right? Because he knew what was coming or what would come. But aren't you glad that God had a different plan? But I want you to take note, especially of what we read through this morning, of Mary's boldness. Once Gabriel explained the situation to her, she made this astoundingly bold proclamation, all on her own, by the way. She wasn't prompted in any way. She was sitting there, the angel appeared, the angel told her what was going to happen, explained everything to her, and then she said this in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Wow. That's a bold statement. How many of you, if you were in the same situation, would have stepped back and said, okay, God, I'm your servant. Let what you said be true in my life. That takes boldness. It also takes strength and courage in the midst of all that stress, right? To stand up and say, you know what? I know what's about to happen, but God, you have got this. God, you're that big, you're that powerful, you're that special, that even though all these things are going to happen, all this stuff is going to occur from people around me, people who supposedly love me, you're going to take care of it. That's what she said when she made that statement. Only someone with strong faith could hear the things that Mary heard and trust God enough to make such a comment and then embrace the miracle that was going to take place. Think about what her thoughts might have been toward this child. This is a particularly important lesson for us today. You say, what are you talking about? Can I just say this? When God wants to move and work in our lives, we need to what? Embrace it. What do we do most of the time? Run from it, right? Or we'll say, I don't know, God. You sure that's the plan? I got a different idea. You might like it better, right? What do you think would have happened if Mary would have said that? Now, we know Mary wouldn't have said that because if you read what we just read, the angel came to Mary and said, don't be afraid because you have been found in favor, right? Or God has found favor with you, right? You know what that word favor means or is? Another word that you can put there, a synonym, is the word grace. In other words, God has found favor. God has found grace in you. Think about that. When God wants to work in our lives, we need to embrace it. We need to trust it. And just like Mary, we need to boldly proclaim our faith in what he's doing. Have you ever thought about that? Is it scary sometimes when you think, okay, God wants me to go do this, but boy, that's way outside my comfort zone. But God wants me to go do this. Right? Have you ever thought like that? You ever felt like that? But then you say, you know what? God knows what's best. And in this moment with Mary, you know what I think she probably said to herself? Are you sure, God? Me? But then through the midst of the conversation with Gabriel, she comes to the point and she says, I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. But I know who you are and I'm going to trust that. And then she said, here we go. Here we go. See, Mary did not do what most of us would do, or perhaps most of us have done when God begins a work in our life or begins a work in us. She didn't argue, did she? She didn't say, well, hang on a minute. I got a sister over here, right? Or I got a cousin over here. You sure? She didn't do all that, did she? She didn't argue. She didn't question God's intelligence. I will go back to a statement I made. When we say, God, are you sure? We might as well be saying, God, what are you thinking? We question His intelligence. Now, to think about that for a minute. That's dangerous. Because God is God. If we're questioning anyone's intelligence, it ought to be our own, right? Mary didn't question His intelligence. Nope. She didn't even worry about the consequences of the events, and I've already laid those out for you. You know, they were probably in her mind, right? And she probably thought, oh my goodness, really? But she didn't worry about it. She didn't worry about the consequences of the events that would result with her virgin pregnancy and birth that would follow. She wasn't even concerned about telling her parents about this pregnancy. Maybe the thought was there. Maybe the thought was there. She wasn't even concerned with telling Joseph. But I want you to place yourself in her shoes for a moment and consider how you yourself may have managed this situation. The ridicule, the shame, the worry. Mary, strong and brave in the moment, boldly accepted God's plan and declared, "Let it be to me according to your word." Whew. That's a bold statement, y'all. If a young, teenage, unmarried girl can boldly accept God's will for her life, then I think we can resolve to do so as well. The next time God, and you know, I mean, you know, right? You know, like, God's, I feel, you know, I just know that God wants me to go talk to this person. Or God wants me to go serve in this capacity. And some of you might be sitting here this morning and you say, I know that that's the Holy Spirit wanting me to give my life to Christ. You know. Because God makes sure you know, right? You know in those moments when they're happening. And I just want to encourage you. I say, you know, I started this by saying, hey, we can learn from Mary. What can we learn from Mary? When God wants to use you or He wants to do something great in your life, hey, don't argue. Don't worry. Don't think about what the results might be. Do simply the same thing she did and say, okay, God, I trust you. Let's go. Let's go. You want peace in your life? Try that the next time. Try that the next time. Mary also gives us a lesson on humility. Y'all know I like to talk about humility. And I do that quite frequently. And I'm going to tell you there's a reason for that. Because this old boy is not always humble. So I like to talk about humility quite frequently because it's a reminder for myself that I ain't even close to where I need to be. I'm trying. I try all the time. But you know why I try and I don't quit and I don't argue with God and I don't give up? Because I know how true it is that I'm nowhere near as humble as I need to be. So Mary gives us this lesson on humility. You know, in the eyes of society, her society, Mary was a nobody. But in God's eyes, she was special. Even more than special, Gabriel said she had found favor with God. Now look, here's a lesson, here's a word of encouragement, or I hope it is. We got to stop letting Satan tell us lies about our level of importance or significance in society. God says, I want to use you, and Satan comes in the other ear and says, don't listen. You're a nobody. And then what starts happening? We forget what God's trying to say to us, and we start leaning toward that. Why? Because all our life, that's what we press into and we lean into. Y'all have heard me say this before. Stop listening to the lies. Stop listening to the whisper on the other side. Right? God, and only God, He's the one who truly sees and knows your worth, your value. God uses Mary's story to condemn pride and arrogance. He cannot use anyone. He cannot use you. He cannot use your spouse. He cannot use your child. He cannot use your mother. He cannot use your brother. He cannot use your father. He cannot use you if you're full, or if they are full of themselves. You know why? If there's any part of you in the vessel at all, then God can't be there in His fullest. Think about that. If you want to think of it like a canister, look at this vase, right? If there's any part of this in here that's left behind, only a portion of God can get in, not all of Him. God says, hey, I want to use you. And the expectation there is for you to say, okay, God, use me. And then you do what? Empty yourself out so that all of Him can be there. And then guess what? His will and His purpose will take place in that moment. That's what happened to Mary, y'all. I mean, really, think about that story. Think about what was going on. And the angel of God showed up and said, hey, Mary, guess what? I'm about to mess your life up. But in a good way. In a great way. Because I'm going to make you the mother of Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah. And oh, by the way, He's going to be the one to save the entire world. Woo! I just be honest with you, I'm not a woman, so I couldn't fit the role, right? But I'd run, y'all. I just know how I am. I know who I am. And I'd have said, God, And look, I'm going to give you some evidence of that. God started calling me to ministry at 16. I didn't answer until I was 34. I'd have run. But aren't you glad that Mary didn't run? Aren't you glad that Mary, in that moment, in that conversation, decided that what God wanted to do was that big and that great, and He chose little old nobody her to do it? And she says, you know what, God? Let it be so, the words you have spoke. You know what happened in that moment? Mary dumped herself out. And she said, okay, move in, God, and take over. And oh boy, did He. Did He? When I think about all that, I remember the words of James. And James says in his writing in chapter 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but gives, there's that word again, right? Grace, let's replace it this time with favor, right? God opposes the proud, but gives favor to the humble. You know why I talk about humility all the time? Because I want God's grace. I want His favor in my life. And I don't want just a little bit of it. I want as much as He'll give me. You know, we live in a society where it's all about gimme, 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 but that's on the material stuff, right? Man, I want to be the one that's going, God, I want some more grace. Gimme, 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 gimme. I want some more favor. Gimme, 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 gimme. But you know the only way that I can receive that? Look at that verse. What does it say? He gives it to who is humble, who is poured out, who is emptied out, who has nothing of themselves at all left in the vessels that God can come in and fill it up. That ought to motivate you. That ought to fire you up. Ought to get you excited. You see, Mary accepted God's will for her life because she was a humble, from her words, servant of God. She knew that her worth was not found in her society with her people, but in the eyes of God. Because God looked at her and the angel Gabriel said what? You have found favor with God. You see, when we're bold in our faith, humble in our servanthood, it brings us to the point where we can be ready to be used by God. When's the last time you honestly said, here I am, God, I'm ready? It's not easy. Do you think it was easy for Mary to be the mother of the Savior of the entire world? I bet it was exciting. I bet it was real exciting. But I bet it was scary. When God called her to be Jesus' mother, she knew that it was going to be a challenge. But even at an early age, her maturity of faith allowed her to accept the work that she was being called to. You know, as Christians, Jesus has called every one of us to go do a work. A work for what? The kingdom. And I won't say that again. A work for the kingdom. A lot of times we say, God, I'm going to go do this work, and I want you to bless it. God, I'm going to go do a work, and I want you to bless it. God, I'm going to go do a work, and I want you to bless it. Have you picked up on what's wrong with that, saying that, thinking that, believing that? Nowhere in that is it, God, I know you got a work that you want to do in and through me. Take me into that work, and Lord, I pray that you're blessed. I pray that your kingdom is honored. Your kingdom grows. Right? We got to change. I say this all the time. Change our stinking thinking. Right? You know why it's hard to not be selfish? Because we're selfish. And I'm not trying to be funny, but think about it. Everybody sitting here knows, hey, I need to practice a little more humility. I need to set the self aside. But when the rubber meets the road and we actually got to do it, guess what? We say, well, man, that means I'm going to lose this, or I'm going to have to do this, or I'm going to have to go here. And then we start forgetting about what the work that God has called us to do in the first place has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Him and His kingdom. That's why it's so hard not to be selfish. Jesus calls us to live lives that are dedicated to Him and to pursue the work according to His will and His purpose. Mary shows us what that looks like, y'all. If you're going to impact the kingdom, I do believe that if I was to go and in private ask everybody in here individually, would you like to impact the kingdom? I believe it would be a resounding yes, absolutely, right? Well, can I just be honest with you? If you want to impact the kingdom, you got to dedicate your life to Him. If you want to impact the kingdom, it's time to stop warming the pews and start willingly sharing Jesus in a manner that aligns with God's will and purpose. And you say, well, how do you take sharing Jesus? Because I'm using the generalized command, the generalized work that every Christian has been given. Every Christian has been told, hey, you give your life to me, now I want you to go do what? Share that. Share everything that Jesus has done for you, and then what? When somebody else gives their life to Christ, help them become a better disciple. Help them become a better disciple. How impressive is it that we serve a powerful God? How impressive is it that we serve a God who is alive and actively at work? I won't say that again because it's true, y'all. It's real easy to look at our lives, look at our world, and step back and go, well, where's God? Somebody asked me this the other day, and you know, maybe God has said, all right, you want to do it your way? Have at it. Especially here in America. Right? But even in that, if that's the case, and he said, all right, America, have it your way. Do things your way. Even if that's what he's done, guess what? He hasn't stopped working. He hasn't stopped trying to bring lost souls to the saving grace of his Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. How awesome is it that God is still active? God is alive. God is working. Now think about this. How awesome is it that if you'll let him, he'll use you to do it. God. The angel Gabriel made a statement, but how, in the midst of this story we read this morning about Mary, how impressive is it that we serve a God who can do anything? I mean anything, y'all. Think about Mary's story of motherhood. Only God could do that. Only God could do such a thing. Through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, our Savior, was conceived. That's why Gabriel made that statement in Luke 1:37. For nothing will be impossible with God. You know why things become impossible for God? He got nothing to do with him. Because all things are possible with him. The impossible takes place because we say, hang on a minute, God. And we try to argue, or we try to make our idea sound better than his, right? We challenge his intelligence. But guess what? When we do that, we slow the work down. It doesn't become truly impossible. I was being a little facetious there. Because with God, all things are possible. Because he's God. And it still blows my mind. He wants me to be a part of that. He wants you to be a part of that. How impressive is it that God has something awesome, something formidable to do in your life? Perhaps he's just waiting on you to embrace the call, embrace the work, and go. Finally, it's important to note that I have spent a great deal of time explaining some of Mary's impressive characteristics and suggesting that each of us should use her story to help us grow closer to Jesus. Make no argument, it would be a great honor to be recognized as the mother of Jesus. Wouldn't it? We've honored our mothers in here today, but if Mary were here with us, right, it would be a great honor to look and say, God, that's the mother of Jesus, right? But listen to me. Any idolization or worship of Mary is unbiblical. There's a fancy word for that. I changed it to say it how I said it, but it's called veneration. You know what that means? It means that to make someone have a God-like status. If we look at Mary, even though she is the mother of Jesus Christ, and we worship her in that manner, we honor her in that manner, to say that she is a saint on par or on level with God, then guess what? It's unbiblical, it's unholy, it's a sin, and it is wrong. Now, while she found favor with God and he chose her as Jesus' earthly mom, we need to understand she's not a God. Nor is she like a God or even close to being anything resembling a God. She is just simply an ordinary human who, because of, listen to this, her faith, her humility, and her willingness to obey God, was used by him to accomplish his will and his purpose for his kingdom and his glory. Is she special? Absolutely. Because she is the mother of Jesus, but that's where it ends. She was also the mother of, how many of those other ones did we name? Six plus the girls, whatever, right? How come we don't give her credit for all of them? She's special because she's the mother of Jesus, but that's where it ends, y'all. All our adoration, all our praise, all our worship, all our devotion should only and always be directed to God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And that means with anything, y'all. All our worship, all our adoration, all our praise, all our devotion needs to be directed directly to him, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. That's it. And you say, well, that sounds like multiple ways. No, remember, that's God. That's God existing how? In his three persons. When we direct it toward God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, we are praising, we are worshiping, we are adoring him and him alone. No person, even Mary, should ever be given that level of praise and honor. Acknowledge who she is because of Jesus. I'll say that again. Acknowledge who she is because of Jesus, but leave it there and move on. Now, I realize this message, too, was not very evangelistic in nature. Right? In other words, it wasn't fire and brimstone and me trying to convince you of how much of a sinner you are, right? And call you to Jesus Christ. I realize that. But can you agree that it was a message designed to make us evaluate who we are in Christ? And what I mean by that is if, hey, if you need that fire and brimstone message, come talk to me, right? Because at the end of the day, everybody sitting in this room has to make a decision about Jesus Christ. You have to. So I think this morning's message that you've heard has been designed to draw us to a self-evaluation. For you to say, okay, I hear you. Now who am I in Christ Jesus? If you don't have Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you just answered the question. And I'm not going to be ugly to you, but without Christ, you're doomed. You're in jeopardy. With Christ, whoo, buddy. I can't even explain it. You say, well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to explain it. I'm trying, y'all. I really am. But it's so big and it's so grand that what you get by giving your life to Christ is exponentially so big that I cannot do it justice to try and attempt to explain it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. That's just how awesome it truly is. How great it truly is. Are you this morning as bold in your faith as Mary was all them years ago? Are you serving God and others in the manner that He has commanded you to? Not asked you to, right? Commanded you to. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37 through 39, He said this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." When you read that, what is that? Heart, soul, mind. It's talking about all of it. Remember that vessel being emptied out? Jesus said, empty it out. Right? And He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Are you serving God and others in the manner that He has commanded you to? God's not looking for the prideful. He's looking for the humble. If you remember, without humility, He cannot use you the way He would like to use you. Are you tired of being used by the people around you? Because they'll use you in a heartbeat, won't they? And they're not asking you to dump it all out. But are you tired of being used by the people around you? And are you ready to be used by the God of all creation? Do you believe and trust that God can do impossible things in you and then through you? See, I think sometimes we don't buy into the work God's trying to do because we don't really believe that. We take our limitations and try to place it on Him. But Gabriel told Mary, with God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Do you trust that? Do you believe and trust that He may just decide today, Diane, is your day? He may just decide today, Mason, it's your day. And He may say, today's the day I want to use you. Are you ready? Will you let me? And then, if that's the case, will you stand up like Mary did and say, the words you have spoken, God, let it be so in my life. Let's go. Let's go. If you're ready to stop pretending and start participating, now's the day. Now's the time to get started. To get started. Mary, y'all, was a very special lady, the one chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But the one who gets all the credit is the one who chose her. The one who gets all the credit is the one born of her. The one that gets all the credit is the one with the power to lead and guide you today in your life. We're going to play a song of invitation. If you have an answer for God this morning, I pray that in that time you give that answer. Whether it be, yes, here I am, Jesus. I want you in my life forever, permanently. I want to dedicate to you. I want you to be my Savior. Or whether it be, hey, God, I know this work that you've asked me to do is important. Here I am. Let's go do it. Use me for your purpose and your will. If you need to come, come. I'll be down here if you need me.
One day you'll make everything new, Jesus. One day you will bind every wound. The former things shall all pass away. No more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all, Jesus. One day every question resolved. Every every anxious thought left behind. No more fear. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. One day we will see face to face Jesus. Is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed on that day. And one day we'll be free, free indeed, Jesus. One day all the struggle will cease, yeah. And we will see your glory revealed. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. It's when we all get to heaven. See face to face Jesus. Is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed. In a moment we shall be changed. Yes, in a moment we shall be changed on that day. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Oh, we'll sing and shout the victory. Yeah, let's sing. No more shame, no more struggle, no more walking through the valley of the shadow, no cancer, no depression, no unanswered questions. Searching, for we will see your glory. We will see the glory of your face. We will see your glory. One day, one day.
I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for me, please. Because that song right there was for the believer. That song right there was for the Christian who has given their life to Jesus Christ. And there will be a day when we all get to heaven that we'll see Jesus face to face. The glory, the magnificent, the great things that come with that only belong to those who give their life to Jesus Christ. Those that get there and have not done that, it's not going to be as he sings about in that song. It's going to be the exact opposite. I don't know where your heart is this morning, but I don't want you to leave here today without knowing that when we all get to heaven, what a glorious day that will be. What a glorious day that will be. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for your words. We thank you that you chose Mary, just this young, faithful servant, to do the greatest act ever for all of mankind. But Lord, that's all the credit that we want her to get, because all the real credit goes to you. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to be the propitiation, to be the replacement for me and my sin. Thank you, God, that if I believe that and I trust that, that your word tells me that I will be saved. And thank you, God, that there will be a day that I'm standing in heaven face to face with my Savior Jesus Christ. And what a day that will be. What a day that will be. We love you, Father, as we go today. Help us, Father, just love on our moms if we have them. Lord, protect us and watch over us. Draw us closer to you. Love us as you always do. And may we put ourselves in a position to be ready, available, and willing to go to work for you and your kingdom. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. It's in your mighty and holy name I pray. Amen.